Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 84, the first paragraph, Are These Extravagant Promises? We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 steps, Linda B. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Shelley E., and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, September 14th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,740. That's 17740. And this morning's Wednesday, September 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 17,748. That's 17748. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you. And thank you. Good morning to everybody on this phone line today. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 11, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. And good morning, Linda B. If you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. I'm Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
And thank you, Linda B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 84, the first paragraph, Are These Extravagant Promises? We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Robin P., if you would get us started, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Kathleen. This is Robin T. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in Palm Beach, Florida, visiting mom. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Wow. You know, I was looking through the promises. And every single one of them has come true for me in the past over 5 years and almost 6 years. And, you know, it's so true. And I love that it says they will always materialize if we work for them. So, you know, I always think that faith without works is dead and work without faith is dead too. And I feel like it's, you know, in the Big Book, there's so few places where it says always or never. But here it says they will always materialize if we work for them. And I love that, you know, we will comprehend the word serenity, you'll know peace. It's so true, like a new happiness, a new freedom. All of this has come true for me. Fear of people and economic insecurity will lead us literally every single promise. Gaining interest in my fellows. I was so obsessed with food and my body and my fears that I wasn't of service to God and my fellows. And today, I am of service to God and my fellows. And even being intuitively knowing how to handle situations which used to baffle us and knowing that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We currently live in Costa Rica, and my mom had a very bad reaction to the second vaccine. I know she's not alone, but, you know, that's what's happened. And we made a decision. We prayed and used our I use my program tools and to we determined to come and visit her and just, you know, to be here. So I never would have done that before. Being in recovery just changes everything and gives us a peace about things that we wouldn't have had a peace about. And I'm so grateful for the support from God and my fellows. This is a spiritual program, not a religious program, but I think of the cross. You know, if I'm only reaching up to God, it's just a vertical line. If I'm also reaching out to my fellows, it's a horizontal line. And for me personally, I need both. And so I just keep reaching up to God and reaching out to myself, and I'm so grateful. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. I'm so grateful I got to share. God bless you all.
And thank you, Robin P., for getting us started. Okay. We are on page 84, the first paragraph, Are These Extravagant Promises? Commenting on that one paragraph. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on this paragraph, I'm ready for your name.
Elaine G.
Danielle W.
Sandy
Kelly F.
Okay, wait. Here's what I got. Elaine B. and Danielle, what's the first initial of your last name?
W.
And did I hear somebody with an F?
Sandy K.
Kelly F.
Oh, Kelly F. That's what I heard.
Vian R.
Veronica B. Okay, let's stop there. I have Elaine B., Danielle W., Sandy K., Kelly F., Vian R., and Veronica B. So go ahead, please, Elaine. Good morning.
Thank you very, very much, Kathleen. So great to be here with everybody. And this is such an incredibly powerful paragraph that it is absolutely true. These promises, I hold on to promises. I love the page 100 promise. I call it in the big book that both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. We realize when we look back, the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands came out better than anything we could have planned. That and these 9-step promises that I've heard in so many meetings, I have to hold on to those because I am letting go of the sweet spot, the thing that helps me. Gives me ease and comfort. I'm really an ease and comfort addict. And so, you know, things like, going down on the scale, even though this wasn't particularly written for compulsive overeaters, serenity and knowing peace, feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Oh my gosh, lose interest in selfish things, gain interest in our fellows, self-seeking will slip away. My mother passed recently, very, very unexpectedly. And I, in my estimation, very tragically. And, you know, she left me when I was a kid, when I was 13. And I was able to rebuild a relationship with this person where I can sincerely and honestly say, my best friend, one of my very best friends, is in heaven now. And it's a result of practicing these principles in all my affairs, of really getting in and looking at how that stuff affected me and how I was hanging on to it and re-injuring myself and replaying the story and retelling the story and re-feeling the pain and re-feeling rejection and needing relief. And then you go to the food and it'll sweeten you up. You know, Ben and Jerry, they're always sweet and they never say no, but they do not stick around very long. You always need something else. But I found something else, a power greater than myself that helped me journey through this time. And I can say, I rejoice. I've already done some 10-step work this morning on my family because we're getting together for the funeral, you know, and family of origin is a great place to push your buttons and practice your program. So I'm not going in there alone. The main thing is I'm going with this loving higher power who did for me what I could not do for myself and will do for everybody else if we practice these principles in all our affairs and follow his dictates and work this program. As many say, like your hair's on fire. But for me, it's that your life depends on it, that my life depends on it. And I'm so grateful to be here and to share, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. Okay, Danielle W., you're up, followed by Sandy K. Go ahead, Danielle.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Danielle W., recovered one day at a time, and really happy to be here with all of you today. I wasn't going to share today, and then I heard this and thought, oh, I don't know. I was just motivated, moved. I'd like to thank, I don't know her name, but the first person who shared. I had never really appreciated the word always, always. I'm just so moved by that. They will always materialize if we work for them. What a gift. You know, I feel like I was dropped into this life without a guidebook, without directions. You know, I felt like I was on the outside looking in. I never got it. How to live, how to get along with my fellows, you know, and this program has taught me things that perhaps other people get intuitively. And it's, you know, are they extravagant? No, we think not. I think God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. God wants us to know how to live among our fellows, you know, in love and service. And I'm amazed, as somebody who is so unprepared for life has learned how to exist, really. The next part, though, that really speaks to me is this idea, they are being filled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And that's the part that I have to hold on to. I am amazed. You know, I don't have fear of financial insecurity, and I did most of my life. I intuitively know how to handle things, and I just ask God for guidance, inspiration, thought. But fear of people still is with me, and I had a very traumatic childhood. There was a lot of abuse, and what's really beautiful to me about this program and about my higher power is God wants these things to be removed from me, and in order for me to work for them, I need to be put in situations that give me the opportunity. And even in my life today, there are two situations going on that are so perfectly designed by my higher power to help me work through them, to help me do the step work around them, so that these promises, you know, can be fulfilled. And that's just the beauty of the program. I have to remember that when things aren't working exactly the way I want, or I'm feeling a bit uncomfortable, I look and I ask my higher power, what are you trying to teach me here? And I can see the beauty of the design and the opportunity for more growth and the opportunity for me to work so that these promises are fulfilled. It's so beautiful. Anyway, I hope you all have a lovely day, and thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Danielle W. Sandy K., you're up, followed by Kelly F. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. First, I have to say I'm so grateful for the people who shared before me. I almost didn't share because what else is to say? But what I really love is listening to the meeting and having people look at the same words and come up with a different perspective. I've always loved that. You know, diversity in thought, diversity in person. I've been in the program for a few decades, and I was thinking about the paragraph as it was being read, and I had no idea this paragraph was in even the book when I first came into program. I was just concentrating on losing weight. And then eventually I wanted to become more emotionally, I'm going to use the word stable, and then spirituality, I wanted to be more spiritual. And then as I was working the steps, voila, this paragraph was there. But for me, I I don't believe I would have seen these promises come true had I not been continuously abstinent. Not that to say I haven't had a relapse. I did 5 or 6 years ago. But before that, it was like 27 years of abstinence. And to me, continued abstinence, working the steps, which is not easy, but they say simple. They keep using the word easy, never simple. They keep using the word simple, never easy. It's hard work, painstaking, to the best of my ability, because I always have an opportunity to uncover something when I'm working 10, 11, and 12. I have had some of these miracles lifted from me, thankfully, by my higher power, within a few years of being in program. But I have to tell you, I must be a slow learner, or I had a lot of peels of the onion to unwrap, because only maybe 6 to 10 months ago did I have complete self-pity disappear. I thought it had before, but I realized 10 months ago it really wasn't all gone. Financial insecurity for me doesn't mean that I'm not going to have money issues. It's what do I do with that? And also, not only what do I do with it, but know that my higher power is with me, then I'm never going to get into trouble. And if I did, my higher power is going to figure our way out. So there are so many miracles, but only if I continually work the program. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Sandy K. in Florida. And Kelly F., you're up, followed by Dion R. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Kelly F. in California, a longtime listener. I think I share once every 3 years, so here we go. So I was walking my dog this morning when the reader read the paragraph, and I got chills with that extravagant promises. I know in our local OA meetings, we have a few sayings that the audience speaks back. And one of them is, principles of four personalities, or what you hear stays here, hear, hear. I feel like this should be one we should all do together. Are these extravagant promises? And the whole crowd saying, we think not. Anyways, what I loved about this paragraph was just, the sentence was just that word extravagant. And I just wanted to share with what was extravagant for me before program. And that was my ego. My mouth, my chaos creating, my wreckage, look, Ma, no damage here, my Amazon shopping cart. I was just the destruction of Kelly. And when I came to program and my journey took, I've been in the room since 2013. I now work at a 2-hour HOW program. But so I'll say I'm abstinent today and I'm sober today. Food is my first true love. Alcohol was just an excuse to drink more. But to say I'm abstinent, sober, I find gratitude every single day. These are just the promises coming true in my life. Even the hardest day in my life has been in program, and I still had to find things I was grateful for and share them with another person. There's no past of like, Kelly, you had a hard day, or you're going through this. Girl, skip it. It's like, no, get on your knees and find things that you're grateful for, because you're truly blessed, even in times of darkness. I'm never alone. And the big book says that, and that there's a solution that we get to share in a common peril is the one element, powerful cement, which binds us. And I just feel just super grateful today to live in the promises, and they all started from putting my food on the scale. Who knew that there was this incredible life out there? I would say that, the start of my relapse was failure to enlarge my spiritual life. And for today, that, my spiritual life continues to be enlarged by picking up that phone. I remember the first outreach call I ever made, the lady said, I bet that phone weighed 500 pounds. And I was like, yeah, it's the phone or me, sister. Like, let's pick this up. Let me start making friends. And from there is a solution. There exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. And the lady sharing after me says this program gave her gems and diamonds and jewels. And that's how I feel today, that when I turn my will, my life over to God, the promises have been beyond extravagant, healthy, spiritual. And I just feel truly grateful today that I get this life that starts one day at a time, can't get clean on yesterday's shower, rant on my recovery as you today. I love all the slogans. Doing it with you. We're not alone anymore. Keep coming back. I pass.
Kelly F. in California. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Dion.
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you so much for being a part of the process of recovery and all who are doing service. Extravagant. When I look at my big book dictionary, extravagant is saying unreasonable, extreme, excessive. Then I had to even get simple, you know. I mean, I had to break it down, some kind of promises, things I think I know, but I don't really know for sure. The promises just in a regular Google, a declaration of assurance that one will do a particular thing or a particular thing will happen. Oh, my God, yes. These are facts, and they're, to me, promises. I've been seeing that a lot the more I saw on this road, not just in the big book. And in a fellowship, I'm seeing the promises. I'm like, oh, that's a promise. If I read something from a higher power, a quote or everything, it's like, that's a promise. Promises to me, like I said, yes, it's a declaration. My higher power in the group and this program is showing me it's going to happen if I work for it. The work is to put in effort. Don't stop. Keep going no matter what. No matter what, keep doing. I don't care where you at. Just keep moving forward. And that's the gift I'm seeing in the program of all of you and everyone share. No matter where we started or where we end, even in the middle of the road, we keep moving forward. And these promises, right, they keep showing up. And the promises that I got last year or 5 years ago or whatever, I still get different promises today in that same area. It shows up in a different situation, as someone just shared, whether through death or marriage or whatever. It's like the promises still come true if I work for them. They're not extravagant. It's not extreme. It's not excessive. Excessive. I thought for me to come in to be 5'11" and almost 300 pounds or a little bit over, that I would never lose that weight. There's no way. You've been in here 20-something years, Dion. You haven't lost yet. You know, you gained, matter of fact. But then when I surrendered and someone just said, just do the work. Just do the work. Just work the steps. And keep the food down and work the steps. And the promises today is still coming true, you know, and maintaining 130-something pound weight loss. And that's only through the grace of God and because I work for them. Yeah. Keep on keeping up, and that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to be Dion, a recovered compulsive overeater and overeaters anonymous. I love you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dion R. in Ohio. And before we take Veronica B., just a reminder, we are on page 84. The first paragraph are these extravagant promises, and I'll be taking some more names after Veronica. So good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. My name is Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. They will always materialize if we work for them. Action, action, and more action. I am so grateful that when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, my sponsor would say things like, it doesn't matter how you feel, it matters what you do. Move a muscle, change a thought. And by listening to her and taking her suggestion over and over, I would say to myself, okay, doesn't matter how I feel, just log into the meeting anyways. Okay, doesn't matter that I don't feel like answering this phone call, answer it anyways. Doesn't matter that I've heard this person share already. She really has nothing new to share that's going to inspire me. Listen to her share anyways. My experience has been that I have to take an action. It's first I take an action, then I get the reward of taking that action, and then that leads to motivation for me. And usually before I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I did everything based on my feelings. Everything was based on my feelings and how I felt. And, you know, because all I thought about was myself, selfishness and self-centered. That was me. And then I came into OA and I learned this new way of life that it's not about me today. Today it's about putting my selfishness aside and letting God into my heart and so that I can do his work every single day. But this is telling me that this is a conditional program. I must, if I meet this condition, I will get this reward. And up until step 9, I've done all this work and I keep doing it. So I work the steps and then I live the steps. But I have to continuously take action and action and more action, doing things even though when I don't feel like doing them. And little, by taking all these actions, I get closer to God, less of me. You know, these promises are a result from less me, more God, less selfishness, more service to God and others. That's why I am here on this earth, to be more service to God and to others. And the only way I get there is by asking God for help every single day and by taking these actions that I learned to take early on, which are now a part of my lifestyle. You know, my daily morning routine, my prayer and meditation, my committed meetings, my daily gratitude list, my daily phone calls, my all these actions lead me closer to God. You know, my preparing my meals, my going shopping, all of that is part of my recovery. But I have to work for them, and I continue to work for them. I just don't work the steps, and then I'm cured. You know, I get to live these steps now. So the promises are a result from less of me, more God, less
time,
selfishness,
please.
More service to God and others. Thank you so much.
Is that a pass? Thank you, Veronica. Thank you, Veronica B. in California. Okay, if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on page 84, the first paragraph.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Jean J.
Jean J.
Lynn D.
What was your first name? Lane?
Lynn.
Lynn.
L-Y-N-N. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. I think I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop there then. So I have Diane B., Nancy C., Jean J., Lynn D., and Rachel P. So go ahead, Diane B.
Good morning. This is Diane B. from Southern California, and I'm grateful to be on the line. These promises have certainly come true for me over 45 years of trying to work this program. And what came to mind for me is sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And that is kind of how God works. If I have faith that he will be with me because I have been working the steps on a daily basis, I'm on a 10-step train, and so sometimes I don't have a resentment or a fear, but it forces me to be grateful for the things that God has given me. But if I have that faith that these promises will come true, then I know that God will bless me, and whether it be in quickly or slowly, it is his time, and his timing is perfect for me. His timing is fashioned for my growth and my becoming a better person. And these promises do materialize when it is helpful for Diane to become a better person. So I'm just really grateful for this program. For some reason, God felt like it was necessary for me to have an eating disorder to be forced to turn to him for help. And I'm really grateful for that eating disorder at this point in my life. Unfortunately, it took me a long time to get here. But I do know that he does answer the prayers in his timing. And I'm so grateful for this program, and I pass.
Thanks, Diane B. in California. And Nancy L., you're up, followed by Jean J. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. We will know a new freedom and a new happiness. That is for sure. I just want to look back to where we were here. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That was a big one for me. That was a beautiful promise for me. And it has to do with page 124, where it says, cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. And that has been such a change in my life. I have, you know, regretted the past. I've had tremendous tons and tons of self-pity over my past. What did it do for me? Absolutely nothing but drive me into the food more and more and more. As I see that I can help people with my past by understanding them, by having compassion for them, it is just a beautiful, beautiful promise that I can get out of myself and look forward to serving others. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy L. in Arizona. And Jean J., you're up, followed by Lynn D. Go ahead, Jean. Star one to unmute, Jean.
You hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thanks. Yeah. Jean J. here in Portland, Oregon. 20 years in program, 2 years following vision very, very carefully every day, paragraph by paragraph, and 3 days of abstinence. So this business of being painstaking, I think, is responsible for my current coming to, as it were. I've got a sponsor that is wrapping me in enough structure to get my attention. I listen to recordings. I go to meetings. I do assignments. I do readings. I make my calls. And I have other chores as well. So it's a full court press, and it seems to be having some impact. In particular, I am confronted with the idea that I'm not the woman I want to be, not the woman I respect. And that's useful because it motivates me to want to stay the course one more moment when the disease comes courting and goes, hey, baby. And I'm very grateful for that. I've had a zillion sponsors. I've been in every form of OA there is. And but, you know, thank you. To the gods, they have always been there to give me enough torment that I have had no choice but to stick around. And with that, I will pass this. Thank you very much for everyone being here and providing a forum this morning.
And thank you, Jean J. in Oregon. So, Lynn D., you're up, and after Lynn, I can take a couple more names. So, good morning, Lynn. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lynn D., compulsive overeater in San Diego, California. So, I always, when I get to a question mark in the big book, I'm always like, okay, it's time to reflect. That's what somebody always told me once. So I have to pause and reflect. Are these extravagant promises or whatever they're asking you in the big book with a question mark? I don't think there's too many of them. But whatever it is, extravagant or not, I still want them. Who wouldn't, right? To know peace and serenity, to, you know, have intuition around things that used to baffle us. Like, heck yes, I definitely want that, you know? So it's just a time for reflection. Like, you know, these are called the ninth step promises, I think, for a reason. These are the gifts and the miracles of your higher power working in your life after you do the ninth step. Ninth step is hard, right? There's a lot of pinches. There's a lot of uncomfortableness. And just, you know, kind of vulnerability in ourselves as compulsive overeaters. And so, you know, it's kind of nice that we get, you know, I can relate to the whole reward factor, right? We want something, we want some miracles to happen in our lives because of this. The other thing, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, there used to be a person at a meeting down here in San Diego that said slowly, like so slow when he got to a chance to read the promises. And it was just like one of those like visual cues for me, like, oh, like, you know, this, sometimes it's not going to happen overnight, or sometimes it's not going to happen, you know, this time doing the limiting amends, but maybe next time, you know, just kind of like wait, be patient. It's happening. Slowly can mean different things at different times. But then probably the biggest promise of all, they will always materialize if we work for them. I know people have said it, but always and must, you know. I was taught always to perk up at these in the big book and kind of, you know, always and must are very, like, strong words. So you just have to, you know, pay attention to them. And then the word work, you know. We don't get to just, you know, do this half measure and it works for us. We have to really work and do the action required. I think that is all I have. Thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Lindy in California. Okay, I have time for a couple more people who'd like to share on this paragraph. 84,
Beth
the first
Hawaii.
Paragraph. Beth?
Yeah, Barbara W.
Okay, great. So Beth, go ahead, please. And what is the first initial of your last name?
Hi, this is Beth P. calling from Hawaii, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for this meeting, and thank everyone that's in service to this meeting. I just love the promises. you know, the AA had me at the promises, and I've always been inspired by them, and it's so amazing just to see them come true in my life, to witness the complete transformation that has happened from doing this program. I love the phrases, we're going to know new freedom and new happiness. I just cried when I first heard that. I was like, really? How? How is that going to happen? Because I felt so imprisoned, so enslaved by my addiction. And, you know, in such remorse and shame from things from the past, and how would I possibly not regret the past? How was that going to happen? But it has happened, because my past is part of my story, and it's a story I tell to newcomers. And, you know, when I heard other people's stories, they inspired me. They gave me hope. So it has a use. It's useful. And the new freedom, the new happiness is an inner freedom. And it's an inner joy that just bubbles up. It's like this effervescence, joy, and it just keeps on expanding. You know, I immediately go to the spiritual experience that's talked about in the appendix. It's like a whole new outlook on life. I'm seeing life through different eyes. I'm feeling through a different heart. I'm living in the moment. I'm not constantly ruminating about the past. I'm not in fear of the future. I'm more and more present. And for me, it's like the difference between a light switch and a dimmer switch. You know, Bill's spiritual awakening was like the light switch. The light's on. immediate change. For me, it's been the dimmer switch, the slow awakening. But in time, that light's pretty bright. So I'm so deeply, deeply grateful for this program and everything I had to experience to get here. It was like the metamorphosis of the butterfly. And so thank you all for being here. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Beth P. in Hawaii. And Barbara W., go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Barbara W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Olympia, Washington. Boy, the word that just hit me between the eyes is the word extravagant. To me, extravagant always meant a big car or a big house or a yacht or whatever. And now I can see that the meaning of extravagant has many places, and one of them definitely is within. Promises, extravagant. Oh, not these. I can see different things going on inside me. I deliver little newspapers in the morning, and one of the things I do is there's a couple of people that I hold deeply in prayer, and I stop at each one of their doors, and I just hold them in extravagant love and all the gifts that their higher power can give them, and I bless and keep them and move on. And to me, that's a wonderful extravagance. I can't imagine not doing something like that. Both of those people, these people, are incredibly beautiful and are going through some big challenges right now. And to me, I can just spread that extravagance anywhere I want to put it, whether it's world news or if it's the neighbor next door who was in the hospital the other day. If extravagance just knows no leaps and bounds, anything can be a promise. You know, peace for your day, or loving kindness be shown to you through this day. You know, just knowing that extravagance for them is it's like I've opened up a jewelry store and it's all theirs. And it's just a wonderful feeling to that I can give that to others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Barbara W. in Washington. And thank you, everyone who did service this morning by sharing on this topic. Really beautiful shares. Appreciate it so much. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Shelley E., if you'd please read a vision for you. Star one to unmute, Shelley.
Oh, let's start again. Ha ha. Good morning, Shelley E., gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater, presently in Northern Michigan. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.